Thank you, and good morning, everybody, to this analyst call for the half-year results 2017 of Baloise. It's a pleasure to have you all online. On this occasion, I would also like to draw your attention to a new product we have on our webpage. It's called C-Level Insights, which gives you a little bit broader context of the story behind the success of Baloise on the topics we are currently working on and the themes we will likely also take up in the following roadshows. I would now like to hand over to Geert with a short summary, and then we head into Q&As.
Thank you, Mark. A very warm welcome to all of you from my side. Together with me is Mark Kaiser, as he made the introduction, but also Matthias Henny, our Chief Investment Officer, and Carsten Stolz, our Chief Financial Officer. I am very pleased and very satisfied with the half-year results, mainly for two reasons. One, we've proven again that the core of our business is reliable and produces strong results over and over again. And secondly, because our new Simply Safe strategy is taking more and more concrete forms, we've seen a number of examples and innovation projects over the last couple of months, and I will come back to that in the end of this short summary. In terms of results, I wanted to highlight on one side growth, the non-life and the life technical results, and our capital strength. And then, as already said, in the end, I would like to name a couple of examples of where our new strategy is taking us in terms of alternative business models and innovation. In terms of growth, we are growing exactly where we want in our target segments. In local currency, close to 2% in non-life, so the P&C business, and in everything which is investment funds business, unit-linked business, we're growing over 4%. So we are growing where we want to grow. In terms of technical results in non-life and life, you have seen the combined ratio of 89.7%. That is almost 3% lower than 2016. So technically, operationally, a very strong P&C book, one of the best in Europe. But also our life business is has delivered a very strong result with an EBIT of 115 million Swiss francs, linked to three things. One, lower reserving as last year. Two, a very solid interest margin. And three, a much better business mix with less guarantees or guarantees limited in time, which has also led to a higher new business margin of close to 25%. In terms of capitalization and capital strength, Standard & Poor's has reconfirmed our A rating with stable outlook and a AAA rating in terms of capitalization. Belgium has got also a specific A rating and Germany an A-minus rating with stable outlook. And if you look at our Swiss solvency position, we are in all scenarios in the green, even in a stress scenario with a 100 basis points lower interest rate and a stock market crash of 50%. We would still be in the green. So from an operational point of view, core of our business performing very solid and very strong. And the new strategy, Simply Safe, where we focus relentlessly on customers, on simplifying products and processes, and on additional solutions and services for our customers, we've seen proof throughout the whole group over the last couple of months of a lot of new initiatives, new innovation projects. To name a few, our mobile insurer Friday in Berlin, the acquisition of Movu, the digital moving platform in Switzerland, the first private cyber insurance in Switzerland, the watch insurance with photo recognition, which makes a lot of possibilities open in other fields, of course, Good Drive, our first telematics product in Luxembourg, Monviso, which is a robot asset management advisor in Germany, and Safehome, which is the first Internet of Things property insurance in Belgium. You see that our strategy is starting to work, so we're not only confident in the near future, we're also very confident in the long-term future, given our success of the new strategy. I would leave it to that, and actually would be glad to open up for questions.
The first question is from Wilhelm Horvath from Exane. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I'll start with two. The first one is on loss ratio, and I'd like you to maybe explain the important deterioration in Switzerland loss ratio, because I guess in the press release you explained the Luxembourg one, but I didn't find anything on Switzerland. So and on loss ratio still, can you discuss a little bit the run of profits? Because it's, I think, the second year in a row, excluding the reserve strengthening in Germany last year, that you are well above the what you described as a normal level in terms of run of profits. And I'd like to understand where is this going, and what we should expect for the future, and also if you release something in Germany this half year. And the second question is on life EBIT, because you still, I think, have a guidance of 200 million Swiss francs, and you printed something like 115 in H1, which is well above what you did in the last couple of years, and it looks well ahead of the full year guidance. So maybe if you can elaborate on this full year guidance and explain where we should expect Baloise to be at your end, and if this guidance is still in force or not. Thank you.
Let me pick up the first wave of answers, and I'm sure that the colleagues will add to that if required. In terms of loss ratio Switzerland and the runoff profits, I think we need to be careful. We are talking about here about the half-year results, which means that we don't steer to the half-year results, so there are seasonalities in there, and we should be careful. I think if you compare Switzerland to last year, in 2016, first half-year was a very, very exceptional year with a lot of reserves wins and a very, very benign claims year. So I think if you compare it to half year 2015, which was around combined ratio in Switzerland about 85, we're clearly below the 2015. So 2016 first year half was very exceptional. So we need to be a bit careful there. Runoff profits are indeed high. Again, it's off year. It's volatile. We don't steer to that. So we expect a 2 to 3% actually prior year loss development to be the normal thing. So coming to your Germany question, there have been no reserve releases in Germany to achieve the 99.5 combined ratio. So the reserving we did last year are still intact. In terms of life EBIT, the 200 million Swiss francs guidance is indeed our guidance, and we are confident that we'll actually get to that point at the end of the year. But additional details, Carsten or Matthias?
Maybe in just adding to what has been said on the life side, obviously it all depends on the further development of the interest rate environment. The half year results you've seen in the slides shows substantially lower interest rate effect than in the first half 2016. A lot will depend on where interest rates will go until year end. Maybe that's just as an additional remark to what Gerd just said.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Daniel Bischoff from Baader Helvea. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. A couple of questions. The first one is on Germany. I mean, the overall profitability improved, combined ratio now below 100%. If you look at the expense ratio in isolation, 38%, I mean, that's more than 10 points above the market average. How do you look at this? The second one is on the cash remittance. So your pro rata target here is around 400 million per annum. I guess after the first half, you should have a pretty good idea where you land this year. I mean, some thoughts about this would be helpful. And then the last one is on Friday. Could you talk a bit more about the developments there? I mean, Mr. Sieber mentioned that the progress so far is encouraging, but I'd be interested to know how the market responded, how many clients you've won so far, whether the business is performing as expected. Just some additional comments here would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bischoff. Germany, I think what is clear in Germany is that we're actually delivering against what we said and what we promised and we planned, which is the shift in the portfolio in non-life, which is on its way. That means away from the volatile industry business. So we have actually 13% less premium this year, this half year than last half year, but we are growing where we want to grow in retail and in SME. In retail with 6% compared to last year, in SME with 5% compared to last year. Overall, plus 3%. So we're moving away from the volatile industry business, and we're investing heavily in the private and in the SME business. And that's also the main reason why the cost ratio has gone up. We're actually investing in additional contacts with brokers. We're investing in the segments in non-life which are the most profitable, but that also means that we pay slightly higher commissions, which is actually the reason why cost ratio has gone up. I'll leave the cash question to Carsten. Maybe a few words on Friday. Friday has actually been launched in an early bird stage in March, April this year. The objective was to actually have a number of tens to hundreds of clients in which we were testing the processes and the products and actually continuously seeing where to adapt. So the real go live of Friday will be in this autumn when the renewal season for car insurers in Germany will start. But what we see, although we're still in the early bird and in the pilot phase, is that we are growing the number of clients per week that we're actually acquiring is growing steadily. We have we will launch the pay per kilometer insurance, which is a very strong innovation in the German market. We have insurance for additional drivers. So it's not only from a digital point of view a very strong innovation, also from a product and a process point of view, and making it very simply for our customers. Friday is an example. Over to Carsten on the cash question.
Yeah, thank you for the question. With regard to cash remittance, half year, we have had a good start into the half year, as Gerd said. Yet I would like to remain cautious and would like to look at this question based on the full year results. We have seen many years ago that even end of December tremendous winter storms can hit, so I would like to have a look at the full year situation first before answering this question fully. But certainly we had a good start into the year, and therefore we'll hope that we can continue this way this year.
All right, thank you very much.
The next question is from Peter Elliott from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Perhaps I could ask one on the life margin first of all. That was very strong. You attributed part of the improvement to model refinements. I was wondering if you could just explain what those refinements were. Second thing was on the share buyback, where I guess purchases so far have been below the required run rate. I was wondering if you could just elaborate on what drives the timing of those and what will drive the timing of those. And then final question on the upcoming referendum on pension reform. I was wondering if you could just give us your thoughts on what either outcome might mean for you. Thank you very much.
Let me go first on a number of points. I'll leave share buyback to Carsten, and also additional details on life also for Carsten. I think if you look at the life result and the new business margin, if you look, there are actually three main reasons why we have why we achieve this strong life result. One is we are clearly moving into a better business mix away from guarantees and limited guarantees in time. That's one. Given the interest rate environment, we have made less reservations in the life book, although we voluntarily reserved also this year about approximately 70 million. And thirdly, our interest rate margin is the difference between the guarantees we actually deliver and the asset management returns are 115 basis points, so a very strong result. If you look at the model changes last year in the life business in Switzerland, they would account approximately for, I would say, 50% of the improvement, and all the operational things I just mentioned account for the other 50%. In terms of the pension reform, so the third question, we support fully actually the opinion of the Swiss Insurance Verband, I don't know how you say that in English, Association, indeed, thank you. This means that we have a very neutral position. There are a number of elements in the proposed reform which are positive, there are a number of elements in the proposed reform which for a life insurer or a group life insurer are not that positive. So we actually follow the opinion of the SVFA, so the Swiss Insurance Association. Carsten, maybe on additional details or the share buyback?
Yeah, on the share buyback, as you've seen, we have started the buyback, and up to now we have bought back 8% of the up to 3 million shares. The buyback is executed in the context of the stock price market development, aiming at buying back the shares below the volume weighted average price over the whole time horizon where we buy back. And in that context, we adjust our buying back behavior depending on where the share price goes up or down. That's the pattern which is largely followed. We follow this pretty closely, me and also Matthias Henny from the asset management department, and therefore the share buyback is going to continue.
Thank you very much. Could I just come back perhaps quickly on the first one? So do I understand from your answer that actually that the model changes that you made had a negligible impact from on the life margin, but it was all due to other factors?
So if you look at the new business margin, the change we did in 2016 in the Swiss model indeed accounts for 50% of the impact on the new business margin. The other 50% are exactly the lowering guarantees, better business mix, less reserving, and the higher interest rate margin we have. So 50-50 more or less.
Right. Customers. Sorry. Yeah.
The model refinements have been done in the full year closing 2016 and have not been in effect in the half year numbers 2016 that you see on the slide, so that gives a little bit of a distorted picture there if you compare half year to half year, because the modeling refinements have been effected in full year 2016.
I think we also discussed that at the last year closing, that the business model changes that we did were fully in line with the market, in the sense that before that we actually were very, very conservative on the model assumptions. So we brought them actually just in line with what the normal market does. But that's actually the impact of the model change.
Yeah. No, thank you very much. Sorry for missing your first comment there. Thanks.
The next question is from Jonny Urwin from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi there, good morning. Just one left for me, please. So just going back to the underlying loss ratio development in non-life. So obviously got a bit worse year on year, almost 2 points. So, but I understand this can be volatile, but I'm just checking in to make sure you're not seeing any sort of negative trends on claims inflation or anything on that. Could you give us a quick rundown of where you see price increases running versus claims inflation in each of your non-life markets, please. Thank you.
I think the markets in which we operate are always competitive, so there is always price competition going on. That's, I think, not different than before. It depends a bit on the countries and on the branches, so that they vary a bit. To give an example, the competition in Switzerland in car business is now pretty strong. In Germany, the competition is overall strong. Belgium, it's strong, especially in SME and industry business, transport business. So it depends a bit, and it varies also year per year. But we don't see a sort of a negative trend, both in terms of claims inflation or in terms of price erosion. So it's pretty stable. I think looking at the half year numbers again, they're seasonal, they're sometimes influenced, so I think we should look at it at the end year. So this kind of volatility is pretty normal, half year.
Okay, thanks. So on average, would you say that pricing is tracking claims inflation?
Yeah, absolutely. They balance
great.
Out.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Michael Huttner from JP Morgan. Please go ahead, sir.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, and well done for lovely results. On the three, on the life, on capital and solvency, And then very briefly on innovations. On life, the 70 million, if you hadn't added 70 million, would we have seen a profit of 185 million? So that's the first question. The second is on the solvency, where you say even after stress test you'd be above 140%, and quite a severe stress test, and then you say, you know, within an S&P model, you're to AAA. Can you give us a feel for these stress tests you look at? Because I know the next step, as you say, when I discuss with one of your colleagues, if you stress it again, you still remain in the green. So that kind of gives me the feeling that each of those stress tests is about 30, 35 points, something like that. But to understand a little bit your thinking here. And then finally on innovations, if you could give us two figures, maybe the total investment so far in innovations, you know, in the digital and all these partnerships, and so far also the revenues. Thank you.
Yeah.
You go first, sir.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Thank you for your questions. First, on the life question, the answer is yes. If we wouldn't have had the reserve strengthening of around 70 million, then obviously the result would have been higher. So it's a yes.
Mm-hmm.
On the solvency question, that is a little bit more tricky. The numbers you mentioned, it's difficult to confirm them because these stress tests don't behave in a linear way. So why are we taking these stress tests? And they are both on the stressing relevant variables on the market risk side or on the asset management side, with stressing the interest rates and stressing the share price performance. This is because this is big building blocks that have a direct impact on the SST, much stronger than technical stress tests. So that's why we take these two axes. And with this 140%, we are this translates more or less in a 1 in 25 years event, bearing in mind of where we stand. So that's the logic why we take this as sensitivity testing for showing our sensitivity to the regimes. The underlying calculation regimes are still a moving target. So that's why we remain cautious, but we are very close to what's going on.
Maybe on
innovation.
Maybe on the innovation part. Of course, it depends how you define innovation and digitization, in terms of what are the investments. If you take a couple of examples, we have in our partnership with Antemis, we're investing 50 million Swiss francs in European and U.S. Startups. First investment have been made in Trove. If you look at MoveU and Friday, those are also investments in the true sense of the word, but they are less important. If you look at Friday today, we have invested approximately 20 million. We have also invested a lot in other new solutions, alternative business models, small insurances for mobiles, for bikes, for watches and so forth. And in those smaller innovation projects, so additional services and additional insurance products, for every Swiss franc we invest, we obtain three Swiss francs of premium. So actually they are indeed profitable, but they're all investments in the future, and they require some time to mature.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Just going briefly back to the solvency, and you know, you have a S&P says your AAA balance sheet, but a single A rating. Why? Where's the difference? What do they not like about you?
Mm-hmm. I take the question with pleasure. Yes, we do have a AAA capitalization under the S&P terms. But in their framework, they're looking at other variables as well, how the business portfolio is constructed, what is in the business portfolio, where are the different sources of earnings, and it's more on the operational side that they also look at us, but with a twinkle in my eye, maybe you ask them, and I would be interested in the answer as well. But that's the non-factual answer.
Okay. Thank you. I'll try and do that. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, but in to be serious again, I think it's a they do the combination of their different criteria, and the capitalization is outstanding, risk management as well, and if they would look at us, they would certainly prefer to have a more an even more balanced business portfolio from a geographical perspective, I think.
Okay.
But,
thank you.
But it is a strong rating, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The next question is from Stefan Schürmann from Bank von Tobel. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning. I have three questions. First one on the reserve releases again, the 5.2%. Can you provide us a bit more granularity where that comes from by country or maybe frequency or against claims inflation? The second question on the life part, when I look at the profit by source, risk result and savings result is down year on year. Can you give some more details there if that's some one-offs in or if that's a trend? And the last one, just a small one on the third-party asset management. I see that basically assets under management remain around 5 billion. Can you give some indications about net new money there or the whole developments in general?
As Matthias hasn't said anything yet, I propose that he starts with the third question related to asset management.
Yes. Hello. Thanks for the question. We are currently in the process of building up our third-party asset management capabilities. This naturally takes some time. We have built up a sales force of three people to tackle the institutional market in Switzerland. We're also in the process of transforming the real estate department in a fund management company. And the third initiative out of a couple of initiatives that we're undertaking is the Monviso RoboAdvisor that we launched together with Deutsche Asset Management. Currently for a figure on net new assets under management, it's too early to tell.
Okay.
Your question with regard to the to the savings result and its development year on year. The development is explained by that we had lower realizations in the first half 2017 in comparison to 2016, as well as a little bit lower current income as well. So these two factors explain the difference on the savings result.
Yes, okay. And the risk result is down quite a bit as well. I mean, that's normal, as expected.
Yeah, the development on the risk result, if I may take this up right away, is mainly explained by last year, because we had a positive one-off effect in the first half 2016 of around 40 million in the risk result. So it's rather there where the year-on-year comparison difference stems from with regard to risk result development.
Okay, yeah.
In terms of the reserve releases in non-life, as we said before, it's a half year. We don't steer those results to half year, so it's pretty volatile and there are seasonal effects in there. I think there's what we have seen, and that's also true for the last couple of years, that in Switzerland, you have the whiplash cases where actually there's still a number of reserves being released. In marine and transport, there are a number of reserves releases. So there are no big changes in terms of the sources. We consider them as normal, and we expect actually the run rate of the reserve releases to be on an annual basis in the area of 2 to 3%.
Okay. Yeah. Very helpful. Thanks.
The next question is a follow-up question from Gilhem Horvath from Exane. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. The first one, if I may, is coming back on SST, and maybe I missed it, but I guess it's the first time you mentioned this 140% as a bottom level. So if it's the case, why did you decide to speak about this 140% instead of just saying remaining in the green zone? And does this mean that you are gonna gradually communicate more and more about SST going forward, and when should we expect you to give more granularity on this? And the second is, could you elaborate a little bit on M&A and what you see as opportunities, and maybe speaking about Belgium a little bit, because there were some press articles mentioning that you were potentially interested in generally Belgium, the generally Belgium book. What's your view on this? Can you update us? Thank you.
Yes, thanks for your follow-up questions. With regard to the SST disclosure that you've seen, this we have disclosed a similar similar picture in the context of the Investor Day in August 2016. So we build on this, and if you look at the disclosure we had in the Investor Day in August 2016, if you halve the distance between 100 and 200%, it's more or less where 140% sits. It's more connected to this one in the 25 years event consideration, and that's where we think that we are going from green to blue. And I think it's important if you compare these two disclosures from October 2016 and 2017 now to have a look in the bottom left-hand corner, which shows that the sensitivity has decreased with regard to the impact of these scenarios on SST. It is a small next step in terms of disclosure. We certainly need a sound and stable disclosure environment, and there I'm referring mainly to substantial model discussions still unresolved. But we'll follow up on this certainly, and as the view gets clearer, the disclosure will step by step follow. But if nothing substantially changes, then we will probably disclose like this again in the full year. Remains to be seen. I hope you can understand this.
Yeah, absolutely. Just coming back on this, on the discussions regarding the standard model for group life in Switzerland. What's your view on this? And do you agree with the I would say industry view, which is that this will not lead to a more capital consuming model going forward? And when do you expect this to lead to a final implementation of the standard model? Yeah.
Yeah. It's an active and ongoing discussion between the regulators and regulator and the industry as we speak, and I would like to wait until the end of these discussions so that we then can see what the framework is going to be going forward.
Okay, and on M&A, please.
On M&A, I think we. In the four countries we are active, we have always been looking at opportunities. We continue to do that, meaning the business case and the cultural fit needs to be appropriate, but we're looking at all the opportunities that are presenting themselves in our four core countries. That's one. Secondly, what also needs to be taken into account is that we see more and more what I would call atypical M&A, which is alternative business models, which are initiatives like Friday or the acquisition of Movu in Switzerland or the acquisition of Drivevolution, which are more platform businesses. So it's a combination, and I think that the M&A world will be balanced in between what we call the traditional M&A, in which we are interested in our four countries, and these alternative M&A models, where we are looking into alternative business models and additional services.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from René Locher from MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Just a follow-up question on the life business on slide 19. So, of course, you just explained that the saving result is down due to lower current investment income and lower realized gains, you know, and here I'm referring to page 21. So perhaps Mr. Hanley can explain to me, when I go to other in the current investment income, last year other current investment income was 137, and this year it's 99, and I guess apart from fixed income securities, this is the main reason why the current investment income is down. So I'm just wondering, you know, what were the main drivers here? And it's amazing, here again a follow-up, when you're telling us that if you don't have to increase reserve like 70 million in H1, then the EBIT would be 185. So this is amazing, because I was just checking in my model, you know, and when I'm looking at the period 2004 to 2006, and so the average EBIT was at 226. Now, if we assume higher interest rates, then, I mean, EBIT life would go up to 300-400, or is this too easy? And, yeah, perhaps very quickly on this unit-linked, nor on the realized gains and losses on investments. I mean, IR explained it to me this morning. So the increase is mainly due to the unit-linked business, where investments are valued at market, and at the end of the day, this is then a wash in the group P&L. Thank you.
So I would start with the question on current investment income of other. This has to do with our shift or the change in structure of our senior secured loan investment. We were up until end of 2016, we were invested in third-party institutional funds, and they were classified in this other section. As of this year, we have set up our own senior secured loan fund, which we can fully consolidate. And now the income of these senior secured loans is shown in fixed income securities.
Okay.
That explains the difference.
Thank you.
Then, with regard to your question on the dynamic of the life result, on the back of higher interest rates, we would see higher results. That's clear. Further enhanced by our ambition to improve our business mix with regard to lower guarantees in the new business underwritten, as well as the runoff of the guarantees in the back book. When and to what extent that will impact the EBIT, I wouldn't dare to say.
Yeah.
But the direction is certainly right.
Mm-hmm.
And then it certainly would also help cash generation coming out from that, which is a key perspective. The third aspect on the development of the unrealized capital gains, it's correct as you say. It's a combination of the unit linked business as well of the other business. So there is a wash in the balance sheet on that.
Okay, thank you. And very quickly, I mean, the shift in business mix, shouldn't I see sooner or later an item fee income in your profit by sources in the life business?
The fee income is currently in the different drivers, so
okay.
don't see that separately.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, just as an idea, you know, I mean, the more important the fee business get, you know, I think it would be helpful, you know, just to show it as a standalone item.
Fair point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for the input.
The next question is a follow-up question from Michael Huttner, JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So your competitor, Swiss Life, they calculate a return on equity excluding bond gains on shareholders' equity excluding unrealized gains on bonds. I just wondered what that figure would be for you. So you have 5.8 billion stated equity, but if I exclude unrealized gains on bonds, I don't think it's a huge difference because a lot of your bonds are held to maturity, but maybe you'd have a figure. And then assuming the life profitability is, you know, the 70 million was kind of very voluntary, so maybe we'd be looking at 700 million run rate in terms of profit. So that would give me an ROE very similar to Swiss Life, probably 10.5% or maybe 11%. And here the question is, can you enhance that more quickly by doing more of this innovation stuff or by accelerating your buyback? And then the final question is, in Germany, at one stage you had said that you could achieve, the aim would be to achieve profitability similar to Belgium, which is around 50 million for a half year, so 100 million for a full year, in terms of EBIT, I think. How far are you from kind of thinking that this can be achievable in Germany?
With regard to your question on ROE, in half year we do not annualize ROE figures, so we like to look at these figures on a full year basis, and in that. In that context, we would like to look at this. Our focus is on the cash generation currently, so would like to look at ROE on full year's terms, prevailing the guidance that we've given of 8-12% over the mm-hmm. cycle over the cycle ROE. If you mm-hmm. want to look at it from an accounting perspective,
mm-hmm. okay.
With regard to Germany, what is the focus is really on shifting our non-life portfolio into the more profitable segments and out of the volatile segments. So what is more important is that we actually start to generate a stable income and a stable cash generation out of Germany, and we don't not necessarily target pure EBIT numbers, to be honest. So focus is on the core of the business, the non-life change in portfolio, and on generating cash from Germany, which has not been the case over the last years.
And on the cash, if I may ask, so we've had a few references to it. I was wondering if I missed something. Have you given a figure at the half year for this?
No, we don't have a cash disclosure half year yet. This is certainly one of the perspectives that we will go deeper in the full year results with regard to referring to the 2 billion cash remittance target that we will look at in the full year disclosure.
And the 2 billion, that's a 5-year target?
Correct.
Okay. 5 years. Okay, lovely. Thank you very much.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions at this time.
So, if there are no more questions, thanks again for the questions and the input. Again, I think we've delivered in half year a very strong operational result, as shown by the figures, and we are we trust that we can actually continue 2017 to become a good year and are looking forward into the long-term future with our new strategy, which is delivering the innovation in the digital world. Thank you very much.